The Israel Report with Rolene Marx.
Rolene Marx, I'm not lying. I thought about you a lot this weekend. How are you? How is Israel?
So
what is going on? Yeah.
I'm sure you did. Listen, we also thought a lot about ourselves this weekend. It has been quite a tense one. It continues to be tense. But just to order or to weigh in into the great cappuccino debate, a cappuccino in Israel with the current exchange rate is going to cost you between 50 and 60 bucks.
Wow. Wow.
That's okay.
So just double. Okay. Thank you for the warning. We'll be sure to remember that. In the meantime, let's go straight to the Soleimani elimination. What are the repercussions and how they're being felt in Israel?
Okay, so Israel, as we speak, is on a state of high alert. We were notified, much to the chagrin of some others around the world, we were apparently notified before any other country that this was going to take place. Netanyahu, as well as the security establishment and politicians across the board, have come out in support of it, and also for America's right to support or to defend her security. Now, it's very, very important to also look at who Qasem Soleimani was. Just to put listeners into the picture, if you didn't know, Qasem Soleimani, who is a general in the Iranian Revolutionary Guards from the Quds Force, the Quds Force are responsible for a lot of terror attacks around the world, including here in Israel. In fact, Soleimani himself was considered the mastermind behind many of Hamas, behind Hezbollah, behind other tactics like tunneling, like rocket attacks, like stabbing attacks. And needless to say, you know, nobody in Israel is going to be crying really hard anytime soon. However, we are aware that the Iranians don't see any difference between or any separation between us and America, and we are bracing ourselves for any kind of reprisal, as well as communities around the world are bracing themselves for any kind of reprisal. And Soleimani was eliminated in the early hours of Friday morning at Baghdad International Airport following the attack on the U.S. embassy in Baghdad last week, but also on intelligence that he was planning more attacks on U.S. diplomats and embassies around the world today. His funeral took place in Tehran. An estimated over a million mourners or people took to the street, and addressing the funeral was the leader of Hamas, Ismail Haniyeh, who spoke about the fact that they're going to continue with Palestinian resistance against the Americans, against the Zionist regime, etc., etc. So, you know, this is not new. We have been expecting some kind of a showdown with us and Iran. We are concerned at the heavy price that this could take on Israeli civilians. Aviv Kochavi, our Ramatkala, our defense chief, I mean our chief of the RDF rather, has said that we could pay a heavy price, but we know that Iran has been itching to draw Israel into some kind of conflict. We don't know when the reprisal will happen, how it will happen. What we do know is a red flag, a flag signifying impending battle has been flown over the Iranian embassy in Jakarta. So the signs are there that we need to brace ourselves, but at the moment, you know, so far it has been quiet. What we have in from the American side is U.S. Congress want answers from President Trump why he eliminated Soleimani. And again, I stress, Soleimani wasn't just anybody. Soleimani was a man responsible for mass murder across the Middle East, including in Syria. And Iran has said they are pulling out of the Iranian nuclear deal. Not that they were great signatories or transparent to begin with. And you know, Russia has weighed in, and Russia has said that don't forget that the nuclear deal is still an international asset. Please, nobody overreact. Trump has come out with very, very strong language saying that, you know, if there are any attempts to attack any major U.S. landmarks, because the White House has been threatened, as has Trump himself. In fact, the Ayatollahs early today said that the death of Trump is not enough to satisfy their need for revenge. Trump has released his list of 52 cultural sites in Iran that he is prepared to take out. So we are definitely hearing, I wouldn't just say very strong saber rattling, but very, very strong fighting words.
Wow, wow, we will watch this intently, I'm sure. As you can imagine, Rolene, I've been glued to all Israeli media for the past 48 hours. And what I found really fascinating with the Israelis were actually talking down, you know, these doomsday scenarios of the World War III. They were saying, no, 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 this is not what's going to happen. They were saying that what they were worried about was that Trump hadn't got perhaps the correct advice, that he'd fired some of his more important advisors, and he was left with, they were doubting the fact that he obtained the best advice possible, because their claim, the Israelis were saying, that the best advice wasn't there to be given. And one more thing, Haaretz today had an article, a cartoon, where Trump apparently phoned Bibi Netanyahu and said, is there anything more I can do for you? So the implication is that this is serving Bibi's electoral ambitions.
I have to disagree with that. I think we have to look at Haaretz and the type of opinion editorial that they publish. We are very, very concerned. You know, there is going to be a knock-on effect. It is going to affect Israel. It's also possibly going to affect Gulf states as well. I saw across various WhatsApp groups people saying, you know, we need to l'chaim and drink and celebrate the elimination of Soleimani. While we are relieved a man like this is out of the running, we have to also be very, very responsible and understand, you know, where the repercussions hit, and the repercussions could hit us here in Israel. This is what we are concerned about, and we're concerned about the fact that while we don't have a formal government in place, while we're still in an election cycle, that the Iranians could take advantage of this, of what they see as an inherent weakness, to try and strike. And we've also seen over the last couple of years a significant warming of ties, although not official, between Israel and the Arab world, because we are concerned of this possible eventuality.
Okay, now interesting. Let's talk about the reaction in Israel to the march in New York City against anti-Semitism.
Well, Israel has come out and said that our diaspora brothers and sisters come out and support us in our hour of need, and we're going to support them. Yesterday, hundreds of people took to the streets of Jerusalem in the No Hate, No Fear rally. Everybody across social media has or is starting to participate in hashtag Jewish and Proud. It's a global campaign launched by the AJC. I know a lot of organizations are joining. So if you see hashtag Jewish and Proud across social media, add yours. And this is just in addition to a march yesterday taking place in New York and in Jerusalem, saying, you know, we don't need to be scared anymore. We need to be proud of who we are. We need to wear our identity with pride, and we say no to hate and no to fear. And what was very heartwarming was seeing the amount of people from various ethnicities and backgrounds joining in the march in New York City yesterday.
Good to hear. And then very quickly, Rolene, because we are running out of time, the verdict is expected in the Ari Fuld murder case.
Well, that's just it. It's the verdict is expected. We don't have the verdict in as yet, but we are waiting for the verdict to come in to see what kind of sentence his murderer will receive. And this is just, again, another example of terror, of the long, long arm of somebody like Qasem Soleimani and the Iranians and their long arm and the financing of an economy of terror. But I just want to touch on one story before we go. I know we've got very, very little time. We are all, including myself, because I've been to Australia, I love Australia, devastated at what we are seeing across Australia. But to end off on a slightly positive note, Jerusalem Zoo has announced that they will be sending money to help aid animals injured by the fires, including burn creams, including wound sprays, hydration concentration, milk replacements, everything that injured animals could possibly need to help them on the road to recovery. That's Jerusalem Zoo. I think it's the first zoo around the world to offer aid to animals affected by these horrific, horrific fires in Australia.
Rolene Marks, as always, thank you so much. Look forward to you tomorrow. Same time, same place.
Same time, same place. God bless.